For the service, I was actually given, some words, and they said to me, "Do with these words what you want, Chris." And so I thought, I prayed about it. I brought it to our Sunday night prayer meeting, and committed it to God about what did God really want to speak out of these words that were given. The words were, "Wake up, my people. I am about to do amazing things. Things that you need to be prepared for. The time of slumber is over. Wake up, my children." I think I've mentioned before, I'm a fairly conservative person, and some of this stuff that is brought to me, I wonder, what should I do with this? And so I prayed about it, and I went to God's Word, and I came to Isaiah 52, where it says, wake up, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your beautiful clothes, O holy city of Jerusalem, for unclean and godless people will enter your gates no longer. Rise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Sit in a place of honor. I remember when we were younger, April and I, not that long ago. We still remember. When the kids were younger, and each morning our routine was pretty much the same. We had three kids, or one that couldn't get out of bed because she was in a cot, but they would pile into our bedroom every morning. Every morning would be this fresh excitement about the new day dawning and what was going to happen today, and you know, what was going to go on, and they would greet us and they'd be excited to see our faces, and you know, mum and dad were the center of their world. It was lovely in so many ways. There was an eager expectation about what the day would unfold. Things have changed. Every day we have a routine in our family. About 6:30, I go around and wake everyone up. I suspect it's my job because it's not the easiest task to perform in our house. And I don't get the same love anymore. All our kids are in their teenage years now, and for some reason, I suspect I'm not the most welcome first sight for our children in the morning. And I've had complaints. Some mornings it's my tone of voice that's not right. Some mornings I'm too happy. Some mornings I'm too loud. Some mornings I turn the light on, the wrong light on when it shouldn't be turned on, and it's too bright. But I suspect that no matter how I tried to go about completing that task, no matter how careful I was, how dulcet my tones were, how sensitive I was to the needs of everyone needing to awake in the right way and be drawn in, out of sleep into awakening, I suspect that I would still get it wrong, no matter what I tried. And I bear the brunt. I tell them, "I'm just the messenger. You know, your mum sent me."
That's the way.
I know. I can take responsibility, Keith. Mum made me do it. But as the messenger, I bear the brunt of the anger that, well, it's not quite anger, but you know what I'm saying. The irritation, the frustration of having to wake up each day. But whether we like it or not, sooner or later we've got to get up in the morning. It's true, isn't it? Now, April and I have a different routine. We tend to get up much earlier than our children. We usually go for a morning walk, and as the days are getting that little bit longer at the moment, we generally, as we come up to the range, we generally get to see this beautiful sunrise. And every day we say the same thing, isn't it beautiful? Isn't this gorgeous? You know, every day it's the same, isn't it? The sun rises and every day there's the beautiful colours, but there's always a fresh expression of that beauty each day, isn't there? It's a lovely thing. We never get tired of describing it or taking photos of it or being amazed by it, by the colours and so on. There's something unique in its expression each day. Each day is the same, but each day has its own unique expression. How do we discover beauty? How do we discover beauty? Tuesday night was a bit of a disaster for some people, wasn't it? Because things didn't quite work out how they were intended to work out with our census submissions. We live in a world where perfection is desired. And I think the irritation and the anger that arose out of entering our details in some form and it not working highlights just how high our expectations are in our world today. I know I did mine a couple of days later and it worked fine and it's done. It didn't really change my world that much, it not working on a Tuesday night. But I hear on the news all the time that heads are going to roll. There's going to be compensation. There's going to be, you know, all this stuff happening because something wasn't quite right. Everyone is trying to blame someone for our less than perfect launch of an online census. We live in a world where perfection is almost demanded in every place. We live in a world where we can't live with the natural beauty of who we are as people. We have to Photoshop our images, don't we? So that we've got that more perfect shape or that, you know, that more perfect skin tone or whatever. We have developed a false sense of what is good, what is perfect, and what is beautiful. And I think in our world today, we are living in a poverty-stricken state because of our lack of understanding of what is truly beautiful, what is truly good, what is truly right. Because from that first word in Isaiah, wake up, clothe yourself with strength, then we come to verse 7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. You know, we need to go somewhere else to really discover what beauty is all about. Aristotle, one of the great philosophers, said that beauty can be found in action and in stillness. There are all sorts of ideas about what is truly beautiful. Some people might see a beautiful sunrise or landscape and say, that is beautiful. Some people may see a certain car and say, well, that is beautiful. or a painting. But the Bible is very clear about what is truly beautiful. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. In the Bible, we discover beauty in the landscape of the good news that is brought to us in Jesus Christ. What are the amazing things that God is preparing our church for? Was my next question. What are the amazing things that God is preparing us for? Well, I think the first step that needs to happen is we need to wake up. I think that sometimes the church can struggle to be fully awake. Sometimes we may not like its messenger and the word that is brought. Sometimes we can prefer the dream time, because in the dream time, that's where we can be fully focused on our selfish attention to our dreams, my dreams. Sometimes we may, like my children, take our frustration out on the person who calls us to be woken up. No matter what words are used or the tone taken or the pattern of waking up, or there will be some people in our world who will never appreciate God's call on their life. But waking up brings us to a new day. Waking up brings us to the reality of what must be done on that day. Waking up brings us to a choice each day about what is going to be God's place in our life on that day. Every day we wake up. What do we wake to? The groan of not wanting to become fully alive? If that's the world we want to be stuck in, then we get stuck with the consequences of living the half-lie of a self-determined life. A life in which we think we are king rather than God being the king and lord of our life. Every day when we wake up, there will be 1,000 thoughts that inundate us with me first. Where do we take those cries, those thoughts? Do we encourage them and feed them? And allow that cry of me first to dominate our every waking moment? They will destroy us with their demands for selfish attention. Every day we make a choice about what is real and what is going to be lost. What matters to God the most, because we think because it can be put off, that its consequences don't matter that much. A challenge for all of us is to find our strength in God. Wakening means recognizing that we can't do this life on our own. we have any questions about what we should be on about as a church, then Isaiah tells us quite clearly how beautiful is the good news of salvation brought by God's messenger. The beauty of God was focused on an act that forever defines history. It happened a little bit over 2,000 years ago. And the rest is just about setting the stage for the culmination of God choosing to love his creation. This good news is what brings each one of us here today home. Home is that place where God reigns. Little wonder when our lives are filled with constant restless activity about busying our lives with things that aren't going to last. That we feel like we're not at home. We just flit from thing to thing. John O'Donohue, one writer that I quite enjoy, says that our souls are hungry for beauty. Our souls are hungry for beauty. And when we truly experience it, it is like coming home. And when we come into that presence of God, we come to that place where we are truly human and where we can truly be at home. The good news brings us home. God is calling us home now. Wake. God wants to do amazing things. We need to, as the church, I believe, find the beauty in who we are called to be. There are all sorts of churches, there are all sorts of people around, but together at this time, the Highfields Church of Christ is the bride of Christ. When he looks at us this morning, he sees beauty in what is created. Just as we can find a sunrise beautiful in us coming together as his called people, we are beautiful. Imagine that. The Lord of the universe, who created all the wonders of this world that we have only just started exploring as humans, says that this gathering belongs to me, and it's beautiful. Because we did not create ourselves. Because we were born out of his son's sacrificial giving of his life. God comes to our community this morning and he says, friends, we are his beloved. Aren't they beautiful words? And the recognition is mutual. Love then needs to transform our community, bringing about a shared appreciation of each other's beauty as well. This is not some vague theological construct that I'm talking about this morning, formed in some dusty academic's mind somewhere in some dusty little office. This is the Creator God saying to us today that we are the focus of His creative work. And the church awakened is beautiful. It's an indicator for each one of us when we wake up of what our true home is really like. Wake up this morning, church. Have a look around your home. We're it. Discover the beauty in everyone. The amazing thing about all this is that it's happening right around us. We, as individuals, need to make sure we don't try and sleep through it. Let's pray. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which He looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which He walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which He blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are His body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which He looks with compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Wake up, my people. I am about to do amazing things. Things you need to be prepared for. The time of slumber is over. Wake up, my children. Amen.